Man podcast recording is up and
running. I hope you're sure happy it's Tuesday in the wine cellar.
Right, there was no Monday, Tuesday.
Maybe. Why are you trying to give me a glass? Just give me that bottle.
And like I said, last week, gonna be more clippish, more clip shows. These the, like the LGBT news update, that's already there. The Green News Report is back. All right, that is something that's returned. Testing. Jesus Christ, what's my there, podcast volume. All right, yeah, so the Green News Report is back. We don't have a prison radio. Because the prison radio, it actually just wasn't a good episode. There is a Black Agenda report commentaries. And like I said, three clips from Maxine Waters. She was on Democracy Now! Today. So three clips from Maxine Waters. And a clip from fucking Jake Tapper for some reason. Because that's what the fuck you got. Like, these are the people that they pay millions of dollars to say goofy shit and not do a very good job. Alright, that's what you're fucking gonna have. Now, fucking, in my neighborhood, when we didn't want, niggas out there selling drugs, and like, cause that shit, it attracts drive-bys, like, like, people know that you have money there, and because, economics is inherently trickled down, they're gonna come and fight over their scraps if they know that they're on your block, so you have to run them out of there. We punched them. We punched them, we kicked them, hit them with boards, we beat the shit out of them, and ran them out of there. And sometimes somebody would have to bring heat. When I looked in the newspaper and saw that a pedophile or someone that raped adults was a registered sex offender in our neighborhood, went to their house, we beat the shit out of them. And like I said before, on an old episode when I asked that question, which was obviously it was a leading question of how did we end up with intercontinental white supremacy, imperialism, and capitalism? Did white people peacefully protest? Did Europeans show up on the shores and march until all the non-white human beings of this planet said, you know what? We respect your position. No. They came in and fought for it. So, yeah, you have to put in work for it. When the fucking skinheads were out in Spanaway, Washington State in the late 80s, the fucking, the Cholos came up and they punched Nazis until they left. There may have been a drive-by or two. The El Loco posse got down. Alright, so yes. Yes, very simple answer. You should punch Nazis.
We sold my shit up. Knuckles all fat and shit. It's alright though, it's all good. Whipped his ass so bad his stepmom's gonna feel me for the next three birthdays out this motherfucker.
Look what his homeboy did to the side of your head.
What you talking about, kid? This shit, he ain't fading nothing over here though.
One ass whooping, man. They still want.
How you figure that, man?
Look around you, man. They own this shit. They own this couch you sitting on. Them shoes you got on your feet. This building. This school. This country. You. We behind enemy lines, dog. One beat down and never compare to 439 years of captivity. Never. I don't know shit. Freshman.
Stop.
it's a while when you find you hack it. Let's try to write your style. I get hip to the scheme before it happens. If it gets wild, then I'll start capping. But for now, since everything's calm, relate to the matter as I drop the bar, because I'm house.
This show is brought to you by the fuck that Father Teresa does not give. In Father Teresa's wine cellar, we believe all oppression is intersectional. And this means our analysis of current events frequently includes discussion of difficult and explicit content. Any combination of the following topics could be included in our show: murder, rape, war, climate change, racism, sexism, violence, sexual violence, homophobic violence, heterocentrism, discrimination and abuse against individuals of nonconformist sexuality, domestic violence, child abuse, child rape, child neglect, elderly abuse, verbal abuse, police brutality, microaggressions, ableism, cyberbullying, genital mutilation, ideological extremism, and people just being total fucking assholes.
You on this couch you sitting on?
This show,
them shoes you got on your feet,
is brought to you,
this building,
by the fuck,
this school, this country, you,
that Father Teresa does not give.
Said they're not getting audio. Audio's not coming in on the Facebook Live. All right, let's run that test. Yeah. Oh, no, reload it.
Yeah,
reload it. We just tested on another device. All right, podcast listeners, that was just a check on the Facebook Live, making sure the audio was coming through. All right. Oh, yeah, you got to type. Did you type in reload
it? Somebody else said they already got it in here, so I'll type reload it too.
All right.
Oh,
so
there it goes. There
all right,
goes.
That's up and running. Yes, folks might see the title. Yes, you should punch Nazis.
Yes.
The opening monologue on that was only 2.5 minutes because that's a very easy answer. Yes, you should punch Nazis.
Can I add one thing to it?
Yes.
It's not an act of aggression to punch Nazis. It's self-defense, because odds are if you're a woman, if you're not white, if you're gay, if you're trans, if you're poor, they want to fucking kill you. So it's not an act of aggression to defend yourself against somebody who actively promotes for your cleansing.
It's a response. All right? Yeah, it is, yeah, forget that. Yes, you should punch Nazis. All right, okay, so we have Maxine Waters, we have the clips, we have the updates, the whatnot, the what have you, a little bit of news here, a little bit of news there. All right, in winecellarmedia.com, the Black Podcast. All right, Jesus Christ. And we have an update on the Korean woman that was attacked by a white woman. She's 83 years old. We have their names. The white woman is 27 years old, and she was screaming white power when she was attacking her down in Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. There's a sex worker that's challenging a Northern Ireland prostitution law. There's Hoover school leaders want to know who wrote Nigger Month on a lunch table. Remember, Barry Hussein said that our children are better than us.
Ha!
Wrong. Texas cheerleader. Our children are better than us. Texas cheerleader in hot water for an N-word Snapchat video. And a St. Louis shock jock is now just dropping the N-word on air. And there's a link, if you go to winecellarmedia.com and go to that story, there's a link where you can contact the FCC about that, because he is over public airwaves.
Hey.
And Representative Massey introduces a bill to abolish the Federal Department of Education. Kind of ran under the radar there. And then there's this one I found interesting. It's called What African Sex Workers Want. And all they did was just listen to the sex workers and post what they said. And on the original post that was on the .co.uk, the comments section was just filled with people that are against sex workers' rights, but they don't know why, saying, "Why are you spewing this hate?" Mm-hmm. Because that's hate. And two players from the New England Patriots are they're gonna skip the White House visit because they are black and they respect themselves.
Yeah.
That's actually quite easy. Alright, so I want to go over to the first clip from Maxine Waters at Democracy Now. Alright, because keep in mind, the reason why I'm sharing Maxine Waters and, like, boosting shit that she's saying is because I checked her voting record. Alright, well, y'all niggas was just immediately, as soon as you saw her say something, you were like, oh, start making yo auntie memes. I'm from foster care. I don't even know what the fuck that yo auntie shit means anyway. Well, like, yeah, man, don't fucking go check a nigga's voting record before you go start celebrating them. And her voting record is clean. You're welcome. Alright. Jesus Christ. Alright, so, this is her talking about, Mnuchin, the, not Wall Street, but Goldman Sachs guy.
Yeah.
Congressmember Waters? Let's make sure that we have our volume all the way vertical. So that shit's got to pick up on the microphone.
I also wanted to ask you about Treasury Secretary nominee Steven Mnuchin. During his confirmation hearing last month, the former Goldman Sachs executive defended himself against accusations he used a tax haven in the Cayman Islands in order to avoid paying taxes.
Let me just be clear again. I did not use a Cayman Island entity in any way to avoid taxes for myself. I paid U.S. taxes on all that income, okay? So there was no benefit to me from the Cayman entity. As I said, the Cayman entity was set up to accommodate nonprofit and pension funds that want to invest through offshore and a certain number of offshore.
Mnuchin has deep ties on Wall Street, including working as a partner for Goldman Sachs, where his father also worked. Mnuchin's hedge fund also played a role in the housing crisis after it scooped up the failing California bank IndyMac in 2008. Under Mnuchin's ownership, IndyMac foreclosed on 36,000 families, particularly elderly residents trapped in reverse mortgages. He was accused of running a foreclosure machine. The bank, which was renamed One West, was also accused of racially discriminatory lending practices. In 2015, Mnuchin sold the bank for $3.4 billion, $1.8 billion more than he had bought it for. During an appearance on CNBC, he was asked about One West Bank allegedly violating the Fair Housing Act by redlining.
Let me tell you, one of the most proud aspects of my career was buying IndyMac during the financial crisis. We bought it from the government in a highly competitive six-month auction. And we saved a lot of jobs, and we created a lot of opportunities for corporate loans. Now, one aspect of that is we bought the worst mortgage portfolio in the history of time. IndyMac was about 30% delinquent loans. So all the loans that we unfortunately had to foreclose on, we didn't originate those. Those were IndyMac loans. Right. And the deal, when we merged with CIT, was the first bank deal to be approved post-Dodd-Frank over $50 billion. So we went through a one-year comment period with the OCC and the Fed. These same community groups protested against the deal. The regulators looked at the deal and thought it made sense.
That's Treasury Secretary nominee Steve Mnuchin. Congressmember Waters, this is personal for you. You're from Los Angeles. The protests were in your area outside his house protesting what they called the foreclosure machine.
Yes, absolutely. I know something about Steve Mnuchin. As a matter of fact, I was contacted and asked to sit in on some efforts that were being made by nonprofits to get him to, you know, make real investments in the community rather than simply being known as the foreclosure king, having, of course, foreclosed on about 36,000 families and homes. And they were asking him to support the work of the nonprofits and asking him to make up for the problems that he had caused in communities with these foreclosures. Many of the homes that belonged in his portfolio were not kept up. The grass grew up. The windows were boarded up. It helped to drive down the value of other homes in the area. And, of course, he is guilty of redlining and not having the bank make loans in minority communities. And so he comes with a bad reputation. And just to know that he bought those loans from IndyMac and got them, I believe, very cheaply and then made over $1 billion on them is quite disturbing. And this is what we're going to have as Treasury Secretary. He would be the one to convene all of the agencies dealing with financial services under something called FSOC. And so whether you're talking about FDIC or OCC or the feds, et cetera, all of them would be convened regularly for FSOC under the leadership of the Treasury. That is not good for this country. I don't think he should have that kind of huge power and responsibility. And so this is typical of what this president is doing. He's picking from Wall Street. He's picking from the financial services industry, those people who have made a lot of money, who were responsible for that meltdown that we had with subprime loans. He knows exactly what he's doing. And don't forget, Donald Trump said he made money during the crisis, and I'm told that he set about teaching students in the so-called Trump University how they can make money in such a crisis.
And Congresswoman Waters, about the other nominee you mentioned, Jeff Sessions, for Attorney General, you're completely opposed to his appointment. Could you say why?
Yes, you know, Jeff Sessions comes with a reputation of, he was not confirmed, I think, when he tried to get confirmed in 1986, and he didn't get confirmed then because of a racist background. I think he's a throwback. He's still the same Jeff Sessions now as he was then. I don't think that he should be in the position of being the Attorney General of this country, overseeing the Civil Rights Division that has a responsibility for making sure that people's civil rights are not violated, and moving very aggressively to deal with local police departments. As a matter of fact, he does not believe that the government should have a role dealing with troubled local police departments, like in Ferguson, where the Justice Department went in to try and work out the problems that had been brewing for years in that city. But he does not believe that that's a role for the Justice Department.
Interestingly, they cannot rush ahead with the vote for Senator Sessions to be Attorney General, because if he's confirmed, there will be one less Republican senator, and they're afraid that then Betsy DeVos, they could not get approved. So they have to get her confirmed before they confirm Senator Sessions. Finally,
All right. Yeah, and that was that clip. Yeah, you see, so, I mean, and just, like, going by her voting record and the shit that she's talking right now, like, I see that, like, that is a populist-leaning progressive, all right? But you making your auntie memes. Nigga, your auntie is homophobic and thinks Puerto Ricans are sneaky, all right? Your auntie is not a fucking progressive populist, all right? Niggas, yo, this was like when it's your auntie. Nigga, your auntie is not a California progressive Democrat, not a liberal Democrat. Mm-hmm. Ooh, excuse me. All right, let's dance it on over here to, I think I want to do the shock jock. Yeah, let's do the,
The shock jock? All right.
Yeah, so this fucking guy, he exists, for some reason. I don't know. I didn't make him exist. I didn't ask for him around here.
Oh, wow.
Oh, like, you see his face?
I see his face. He looks like, he could be, like, Steve Bannon's nephew or something.
He does. He looks fucked up. Well, he looks like a fucked up version of Gene Wilder. Just like going by the bone structure. Being shallow, getting into the shit. So his name is Bob Romanek, all right? And he's a self-proclaimed Grim Reaper of St. Louis Radio. Man, so they should see if he has public archives, because that's St. Louis Radio. I want to know what he was saying in 2014, all right? Around the time all them Colored Lives Matter folks were running their mouths. And now this was uploaded January 22nd. And he's... very ironic. Because, I'm not a fan of the rapper Wacky Flacky Flames. But I had that video clip where Becca Hontis ran up on him to see if he would catch the fever. And he did not. And that was a very funny clip, the way he just walked away from her when she was... moving her body in ways near him, and I don't know, some sort of abstract aerobics she was performing. And but now this guy is talking about wacky flacky flames in a different context. He's not a fan. All right. Bring in Bob.
I feel like you just took a good crap. Don't you feel constipated and just took a good crap? Because that's what we did. We took a good crap today, just like Waka Flocka Flame did. Waka Flocka. He took a good crap on our president-elect shirt.
All right, so I guess so he doesn't like Wacky Flacky because Wacky Flacky done said something mean about the president. So this is how you behave like a mature adult over the public airwaves.
Our white president. Now, if it'd be another black man, you think that Trump has done anything to this man? Trump will probably do more for this black nigger than Obama's ever done for the proud black community.
Sound like he choked on it. Nigger. Like, why did that come out your throat like that?
Will probably do more for the president. Will probably do more for this black nigger. Will probably do more for this black nigger. Nigger. Than a nigger. Black nigger. Black nigger. Black nigger. Black nigger.
He says it weird.
Obama's
never.
Ever done for the proud black community.
Probably the
in
first time
opinion,
he's ever said it in public.
Yeah.
Think about it. We're talking about Waka Flocka, that greasy black nigger son of a bitch. Not a proud white person. Not a proud black person. Definitely not a proud white person. But
he's not a very shocking shock jock. Like, he sounds uncomfortable in his own attempt. Like, he's only shocking himself. Like, I'm not shocked. I kind of expect you to behave like this, Dunson. All right, Jesus Christ.
It says,
a little more.
You should not flaunt your support for Donald Trump at a Waka Flocka show. Why not?
Ah, that's right, because a young person went to the Wacky Flacky Flames concert because they don't like money. And they were wearing a Donald Trump t-shirt, and Wacky Flacky Flames said, hey, give me your t-shirt. And then he went and wiped his keister with it.
Yeah.
And then the young person reported and said, I'll never forget that show. Didn't sound like they had a bad time. Like, ah, that was funny and fun. Like, what, did he expect a black person to like Trumple Stiltskin?
I was reading the rest of the story.
Oh, I was just going down to the FCC part.
Oh, keep scrolling.
So he's a two-time felon. Oh, Jesus Christ. I don't think Wacky Flacky Flames even has a record.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Jesus
All right.
Christ. Romanek has made something of a career out of inciting outrage. In February 2016, he made headlines for calling Alderwoman Megan Alia Green a skanky B-word and an alder B-word and a skanky ass B-word, while the president of the board of Alderman Lewis Reed laughed nervously in the studio. What you laugh for? Why didn't you fucking defend your fucking colleague? Yeah, Lewis is a buster. Vote that nigga out. Primary that nigga. Lewis is a buster. Nigga sat there and laughed. Fuck you. Romanek was one of the top donors for Reed's mayoral run. So you bought and sold. Wait, but... So he's a president of the Board of Aldermen, but he ran for mayor. So he lost.
Yeah.
So fuck him.
Yeah.
You don't have to fucking punk out like that for a fucking donor that and you lost. Jesus Christ. In November, the St. Louis Post Dispatch editorial board. They condemned his program as hate speech and encouraged people to contact the FCC over a homophobic attack advertisement that he recorded against the St. Clair County board chairman Mark Kern. Oh, fuck, I remember that. No, never mind. I remember something different where an elected official did something like that. But I fucking know the name Mark Kern for some reason.
It just seems like that's like the trifecta with these kind of people. Racist, homophobic, misogynist. Like, generally all three.
FCC, 1-888-394-1430. All right, and you can contact them and complain about this radio show, or you can go to consumercomplaints.fcc.gov, phone number 1-888-394-1430 or go to consumercomplaints.fcc.gov. And, you know, I mean, hey, Donald Trump's going to bring in more jobs, so he'll find another gig.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, get that fuckface fired.
Well, I mean, he's an old white man who likes to call black people niggers and hates women and gays. I'm sure he'll find a job in the current climate without a problem.
Oh, yeah, he'll get a job passing out Happy Meals at McDaniels. I'll tell you. Ugh. All right, now I'm going to go ahead. And I mean, yeah, we're moving this episode along quite fucking fast. So I'm going to dive right into the LGBT news update because time exists and I ain't got a lot of it before I have to be right back in that there warehouse. What the hell?
It's now time for Big Gay News brought to you by Lavender Media. This is Andy Lean in Minneapolis and here are your headlines for Tuesday, February 7th, 2017. First up, big gay news from Norway. First same-sex wedding takes place in Church of Norway. Pink News reports that Norway's first gay wedding in a church has taken place just seconds after the change in the rules came into force. Kjell Benjaminsen and Erik Stjelnes have been together for 36 years, and they married in the Eidskog Church moments after midnight, making them the first same-sex couple to have a marriage ceremony in a church. Pastor Bettina Ekbo, who performed the ceremony, said, "In many ways, these two men have lived through a lot of the recent history of homosexuals. When they got together in 1981, it must have seemed very unreal for them to think that they would one day get married in the church." Next up, violent attacks on gay men under investigation in Columbus and Nashville. LGBTQ Nation reports that police in two cities are investigating two unprovoked attacks on gay men that occurred early Saturday, but so far neither assault is being treated as a hate crime. The attack in Columbus, Ohio involved a gay couple, Bryson Beyer and Monte Sandhu, who had recently moved to the city and were walking home when they reported being attacked by several men, who exited two cars and began shouting gay slurs before physically attacking the couple. In the Nashville attack, Francisco Montes reported being assaulted as he walked alone by an unknown number of assailants who also shouted gay slurs as they beat him into unconsciousness. Police in both cities are investigating the attacks and will determine if hate crime charges will be added to the assault charges when the attackers are arrested. Next up, Switzerland lifts blood donation ban on gay men. Out Magazine reports that as of July 1st, Switzerland will start allowing gay men to donate blood if they've been celibate for a year. The Swiss Transfusion RSC, which requested the change in policy last year, said that while the change is far from perfect, it is still a progressive move that deserves praise. The common practice of banning gay men from donating blood came about during the AIDS crisis when little was understood about how the virus was spread, but as screening methods have improved, more countries are beginning to relax the restrictions somewhat. For our final story, Sapporo set to become first city in Japan to recognize same-sex partnerships. Gaystar News reports that Sapporo is set to become the first city in Japan to recognize same-sex legal partnerships. Although the law in Japan still defines marriage as only being between a man and a woman, there has been significant progress in allowing same-sex couples to have more legal protections to protect their relationships. Sapporo, the fourth largest city in the country, would give legal rights to gay couples, as well as recognize the relationships of non-binary people so long as applicants are residents of the city and over the age of 20. That's it for today. Thanks to Linda Rains for compiling the stories. I'm Andy Lean in Minneapolis. Join us and tweet your take on today's stories on Twitter at the handle Big Gay News.
The news is a shit show these days, and we're here to give you a break from the white supremacist media bullshit by bringing you the shitty news so that you can feel less like shit because you know the people discussing all the fucked up shit give a shit about you and the shitty situations you deal with every day. So shit. Pour yourself a glass and settle in for Father Teresa's Wine Cellar.
When we're not on the show, Father Teresa yells at me.
All right. What not, what have you, stuff things, punch Nazis again, just in case you're tuning in and you're like, oh, what the fuck? Look at this title. They're probably talking about that. Nah, talked about that in the beginning. Just do it. Just fucking go outside and do it right now. Punch a suspected Nazi.
Yeah.
All right, if you're just like, whoa, is that a Nazi? I'm not sure. Because I tell you what, they'll punch you. All right.
They'll kill you.
All right, I've been hit. I've been ran up on. Attempted murder. Nigga, ducking, running. All right, here we go. So, again, like this Korean woman is 83 fucking years old. And I don't know exactly how fit she was for an 83. So, like, she probably couldn't have just... But the thing is, a Nazi ran up and punched her ass. So, elderly Korean woman. The original article put grandma. And it's like, let her be an individual. Like, the fact that she bred offspring and they bred offspring, that doesn't matter. The fact that she got attacked just for the fact that she was not a white person. And she was attacked in the downtown Los Angeles by a woman screaming, "White power." Officers were called to Koreatown. So, and now, the Nazi went into the area that's known as Koreatown and attacked someone.
Yep.
You see what I'm saying? We act like we shook there, whatever.
And, of course, it being Koreatown, that means that if they had really wanted to fight with somebody, they could have found somebody of a similar age, size. They could have picked somebody who was in shape. If it was Koreatown, there was a bunch of fucking Koreans there. But nah, you went to the fucking 87-year-old lady.
Yeah, so somebody should have went to 83. So somebody should have punched this fucking Nazi first. Yeah, that's right. I am a cis male saying someone should have knocked that cis woman the fuck out. Alexis Duvall, somebody should have fucked her up first. Alright, allegedly punched the grandma in the back of the head. I mean, there's actually images. You go to winesolomedia.com. I mean, there's images with the fucking blood running from her fucking dome. Yeah, like she got fucked up.
The story already went around the white supremacist sites too and was called a false flag and obviously fake. They said that picture looks fake.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so it's already been discredited over here.
That's clearly not blood. That's fucking cranberry juice. What are you fucking talking
ketchup.
About?
That picture is also fake.
Oh, the one where she's getting fucking arrested by someone in a NYPD uniform. Holy shit. Really? And so she was arrested at the scene on suspicion of battery and currently being held a $50,000 bond. You know, so, and basically, if she's in there for a while and you hear this program and then you get locked up for some shit, well, you're in there with her. Punch that Nazi.
Punch that Nazi.
All right.
And in the chat room, I think we're saying Hernandez now, said, but where were the safety pins?
The fucking safety pins. Again, like, immediately, as soon as I saw people posting about the safety pins online, like, publicly, I was already like, you already failed. You already failed. And somebody, and immediately, like, the very next thing I saw a couple hours later was that Nazis were putting pins in their shit to attract people to them. Mm-hmm. Like, you should have passed that shit around private messages and emails. Like, you just gonna put that shit on a big old public post.
It's not fucked up that people do, too. They'll private message you on Twitter and Facebook to do the chain of, like, everybody change your picture to the first family for their last day. But you couldn't have fucking thought about that for that safety pin bullshit. Okay.
Fucking safety pins. Fuck those fucking safety pins, man. Alright, do another one and then I'll go back back to the soundboard for another clip. Actually, you know what? Before we do this one, let's go back to Maxine Waters. Oops, skip the flibbidoo. Alright. There we go. Maxine Waters on, Maxine Waters on Betsy DeVos.
The Senate is scheduled to hold a full vote today on the confirmation of Donald Trump's nominee for Education Secretary billionaire Betsy DeVos. DeVos is perhaps Trump's most contested pick among a group of controversial cabinet nominees. DeVos is a longtime backer of charter schools and vouchers for private and religious schools. She and her husband have also invested in a student debt collection agency that does business with the Education Department. On Monday, Senate Democrats took to the floor of the U.S. Senate to begin a 24-hour protest opposing her appointment. This is Michigan Senate Democrat Debbie Stabenow.
You know, Betsy DeVos's nomination is very personal to many people who live in Michigan, because Betsy DeVos is from Michigan. And her vision of education and her actions have unfortunately played a major role in undermining our public schools. Families all across our state can tell the story of her work with Michigan schools firsthand because they've seen it firsthand. They've lived it firsthand. And they all say the same thing. Democrats, Republicans, independents, people who live in cities that are big and small cities, and parents and teachers and principals and community leaders from across the state, overwhelmingly They've told me that Betsy DeVos should not be our next Secretary of Education.
Yes.
Last week, two Republican lawmakers, Senator Susan Collins of Maine and Lisa Murkowski of Alaska, announced plans to vote against DeVos, leaving Senate Republicans one vote short of confirming her. If the Senate vote is 50-50, Vice President Mike Pence would then cast the deciding vote, an event that has never happened to any other presidential nominee in history.
If only one...
And just so you like, we're airing this at our program at night. That shit happened earlier today, about 3 hours when I clocked out. So yeah, I didn't remember. Almost 9 hours ago. All right.
More Republican senator decides to vote against her, Betsy DeVos's confirmation will be rejected. For more on DeVos and other nominees in the Trump cabinet, as well as a call for impeachment, we're joined by Congressmember Maxine Waters of Los Angeles. Welcome to Democracy Now, Congressmember Waters. Can you start off by talking about what's happening with Betsy DeVos and why you are opposed to her?
Yes, certainly. I'm delighted to be here with you this morning. I started talking about Betsy DeVos when I was at the Women's March. I identified three of his nominees. One was Jeff Sessions, one was Betsy DeVos, and the other was Mnuchin, because they stood out as unqualified, unfit, and should not be heading these important agencies of government. Betsy DeVos has no experience, no background. She, of course, never attended public school herself. Her children never attended public school. She's never served on a school board, never taught. She's never done anything except make big donations to Trump and others. So this billionaire wannabe teacher is now in the position where there's a big fight going on in the Senate, and it looks as if it's a 50-50 it's a split. And the tie would have to be broken by the vice president. And so unless the Democrats can get a third vote, she may end up being the Secretary of Education, which would be a shame. She does not care about public education. She's into charter schools and privatization of education. And all around this country, educators are alarmed. We have parents who are against this nomination and against her becoming the education secretary. I just hope that they can get a third Republican to join with the Democrats to stop her from becoming the education secretary.
Well, Congressman Waters, in her hearings, she really showed a remarkable lack of understanding of some of the basic issues in education. Even the Detroit Free Press, the main newspaper in Michigan, claimed that she was not qualified for the job and she was actually more a lobbyist. But I wanted to go to Senator Elizabeth Warren speaking on Monday on the floor to oppose the nomination of Betsy DeVos, where she talked about what happened at her confirmation hearing.
During her confirmation hearing, I gave her the opportunity to show that she is at least serious about standing up for students. I asked her basic, straightforward questions about her commitment to protecting students and taxpayers from fraud by these shady for-profit colleges. Her response was shocking. She refused to commit to use the department's many tools and resources to keep students from getting cheated when fraudulent colleges break the law. And in her responses to my written questions, she even refused to commit to doing what the law requires by canceling the loans of students who've been cheated by law-breaking colleges. An education secretary who is unwilling to cut off federal aid to colleges that break the law and cheat students would be a disaster for both students and for taxpayers.
That was Senator Elizabeth Warren. Congresswoman Waters, do you have any expectation or hope that this nomination can be derailed with one more Republican vote?
Well, I certainly hope so. And I appreciate those questions that were asked by Senator Warren. Both of us have worked very hard to try and get rid of these private post-secondary schools that are ripping off the taxpayers and the students. We were very successful in the work that we did with Corinthian, but there are many more out there for far too long have been receiving taxpayer money and not providing any real education or career opportunities for these students who sign up for these schools. Many of them are recruited from welfare lines and housing projects. They target the poorest of students, and they get them to sign on the dotted line to get the student loans. They take that money, and many of them do nothing. And when these students end up coming out of these schools, they can't get jobs, they can't pay back the loans, and they are basically put in a very difficult situation for many, many years, not being able to rent or live in public housing, other kinds of things that they're prohibited from doing because they have not been able to pay the loans back. So yes, she's a disaster. I am so hopeful that they can get this third vote. I know that there are Republicans there who know that she's not qualified. Some of them may be a bit intimidated by the president and don't want to cross him at this point. But if they care about the students, if they really care about education, they will do that. They will step up to the plate, and they will join with the other two Republicans and the Democrats and deny her this confirmation.
Congressman...
All right. Again, I mean, nobody, I mean, well, nobody on the fake left said anything about that when it was Barry Hussein's Secretary of Education I wanted to privatize. But I get why the typical liberal Democrat wouldn't like it, and which is not the homie local right there, Maxine Waters. But, like, folks don't like it, and I get why, because it's not just the privatizing. Democrats are perfectly fine with privatizing. Look at Bill de Blasio. Right, look at Cory Booker. Like, Democrats are fine with the privatizing. What they don't like is the dominionism of it. They don't like that she's just trying to run this fucking wacky Christian shit because that goes against the core thing of being a Democrat, which is being a Republican with gay friends. And it's like, hey, my gay friends. I'm a Democrat. I have gay friends. Stop that.
And a black friend. Becker in the chat room, who is a teacher, said you should be a fly on the wall in the teacher staff rooms. So much talk of early retirement.
Oh, man.
What happened?
Yeah, and I think it was Becker Loco's district that has, like they found, like, it was, like, some gnarly deficit, something like that. What, like, was it, like, $90 million? Some shit, like, it was fucking ridiculous. Yeah, man, gee, Jesus fucking Christ. yeah, and I mean, also something that it looks like is right, like, what you keep hearing, it's something that's been growing probably since before I was even born, it's been heading in this direction, is the debts that they can't pay back, yeah. Or they gotta work this many years before it's paid back. Indentured servitude, baby!
Yeah!
Like, kind of mixing up that capitalism and that feudalism a little better, kind of fusing it. Or, again, like a lot of us been saying, I mean, even basic Democrat Tom Hartman, you know, like, capitalism just upgraded feudalism. I say it's feudalism with Wi-Fi. It's all, man, it's just, yeah, you have fancy slave quarters.
I mean, but that's, I almost think it's almost, not entirely accurate to say indentured servitude, because it's a lifetime, like, indentured servitude implies you get to get out. But for typical people who are getting fucked up by these things, they're never going to get out, because by the time they're about to get out, they're going to have kids and not be able to support their kids and getting out. And they're going to have to pick one. And they're going to pick their kids.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, and what if people really do just start being celibate? Like, you take away birth control and take away abortions and all that shit, and then men and women just start being celibate and just working. And then these people who are, like, in their 50s and they're ready to retire... We don't got no new young people paying taxes into your retirement fund. You took away our shit. We would have had kids, but you tried to force us to do it too early. So we just masturbated. All right.
Oh, man.
Enjoy that. Enjoy that, fucko. oop, boop-a-doop, where's my, they call it jingle pad. I call it a fucking soundboard. Oh, Wine Cellar Tuesday. And what is that? All right, the Green News Report. Again, man, fucking clip shows. Because, fucking tired. Green News Report. Remember that, folks, when it used to just be on Blog Talk Radio? What I'm doing is Green News Report. I click play on that shit.
It's Tuesday, February 7, 2017.
It's not just the fox guiding the hen house. It's the fox destroying the hen house.
400 former EPA officials tell Senate to vote no on Scott Pruitt's nomination to head the EPA. Another heat wave in the Arctic leaves scientists in stunned disbelief. Electric vehicle sales jumped nearly 40% in 1 year. China to cut coal use in Beijing by another 30%. Plus,
people really do care about science.
The March for Science is on for Earth Day.
All of those marching scientists and more straight ahead. From bradblog.com, I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
Stand by for 6 minutes of independent green news, politics, analysis, and snarky comment.
Can he tell the Forest Service to start logging our forests aggressively again to provide jobs for Americans, wealth for the Treasury, and not spend $3.5 billion a year fighting forest fires?
Good point. We wouldn't have all these expensive forest fires if we just got rid of all the forests first.
Burn it all down, baby. This is your Green News Report. I'm gonna soak up the sun. Okay, Desi Doyen, I know you were watching the Super Bowl ads closely, and while there were no overt environmental ads, at least that I noticed, you noticed something else among those commercials.
Yes, the ads of Super Bowl 51 were a little different this year. I noticed that they showed not only diversity in people, but I also noticed diversity among car choices. The Super Bowl ads to me seemed quite remarkable because of how unremarkable hybrid and electric cars were in those ads. There weren't any really overt environmental statements. The cars were just portrayed as normal and not at all an unusual choice for average consumers in their everyday lives.
Normalizing electric vehicles, normalizing hybrid vehicles.
Exactly. And that normalization of electric cars is showing up in sales. According to a new analysis by Forbes this week, electric vehicle sales in the U.S. are climbing steadily. By the end of last year, with 30 different EV models available, sales of electric cars jumped nearly 40% over 2015. And more than half of the EVs sold in the U.S. across 2016 were sold in California. Of course, it's still only a drop in the bucket of total U.S. vehicle sales, but this very solid growth in electric vehicle sales occurred in spite of very low gas prices.
And don't let anyone know that all they have to do is plug in these cars and they don't have to ever buy gas again. But keep it to yourself.
Meanwhile, in politics, more than 400 former officials with the Environmental Protection Agency have signed on to a letter strongly urging the U.S. Senate to vote no on Trump's pick to head the EPA, Oklahoma Attorney General Scott Pruitt. The letter, released on Monday by the Environmental Integrity Project, says that Pruitt's record of suing the EPA to stop pollution regulations, quote, strongly suggests that he doesn't support the agency's mission of protecting public health against pollution.
You think? 400 former EPA employees. Do you think anyone in the U.S. Senate on the Republican side is going to give a damn about that?
Probably not.
Of course not. And in the U.S. House, one U.S. congressman has already proposed a bill to abolish the EPA.
But scientists are pushing back, taking inspiration from the wildly successful Women's March the day after Donald Trump's inauguration. A group of scientists have set a March for Science, appropriately for Earth Day, Saturday, April 22nd in Washington, D.C. They'll rally for scientific integrity and evidence-based policy.
Yeah, well, good luck with that. I hope they have funny pink hats to wear.
There's also a People's Climate March on Washington, D.C. That's also being organized for the week later, April 29th. That will coincide with Trump's 100th day in office. And that one is being organized by a broad coalition that joined forces at the massive People's Climate March in New York City. Remember back in 2014? All of these groups are now working together at the intersection of climate, environmental justice, Native American rights, and civil rights organizations.
You said that's going to take place on his what day in office?
100th.
Oy.
If we get that far.
Right.
And now extreme weather hits the Arctic again. Arctic temperatures this week are forecast to soar to 50 to 60 degrees warmer than normal in the dead of winter. Sea ice in the Arctic is already at a record low extent, and the Washington Post reports that this latest Arctic heat wave is so warm and of such long duration that Arctic scientists are, quote, in disbelief, stunned, and unable to explain it. Finally, some good news. China has made another big announcement on cutting out coal. The capital, Beijing, announced plans this week to cut the use of coal by an additional 30% over last year, according to Chinese state-run news media, and they've set a goal of phasing out the use of coal entirely in the next year in six major districts around the capital to combat dangerous air pollution.
Good for China. It's just getting kind of embarrassing for America at this point, isn't it?
Well, with the U.S. taking a step back, China's taking the step forward.
For more on all of those stories and the ones we couldn't get to, check out our website at greennews.bradblog.com. Find us and follow us on the Facebooks and the Twitters at Green News Report. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
And this has been your Green News Report.
All right. Now, so sex worker and law graduate Laura Lee is due to appear before North Island's High Court on Monday to challenge a law making it illegal to pay for sex. Northern Ireland's criminalized the purchase of sex in 2015, the first part of the United Kingdom to pass such a law. In a move some advocacy groups said would help stamp out sex trafficking. You know, around that time, I subscribed to this program called Unbelievable, and it's where, all right, you know what, they call it debate. There's no such thing as Christians debating atheists. There's atheists saying normal, logical shit, and Christians being weird. And they were talking about, like, a big problem with Christians taking over in Northern Ireland. And here you go. And other groups have criticized the law, saying it would drive traffic trade underground and increase the risk of violence women face. Quote, I'm challenging this bill because it creates an extremely dangerous environment for sex workers, end quote, from Laura Lee. Clients are refusing to identify themselves for fear of retaliation, so we as sex workers can't assess them and have no comeback if things go wrong, end quote. Lee continued, saying, a lot of good clients, those married or with families, drop off because they're scared of being caught, and you're left with those who couldn't care less and treat you badly, end quote. Northern Ireland followed Canada, Sweden, Norway, and Iceland in introducing laws designed to punish the client without criminalizing those who have been driven into prostitution and to end trafficking.
That is a very disingenuous sentence.
It's not. It's just. It's a lie.
It's a lie, because those models. It's not criminal to provide services. However, you are faced with real life repercussions, including forced homelessness, increased police harassment. Police can document you, stalk you, and film you engaged in sex acts without your consent. They can take your children from you. They can dox you as a sex worker and put your name in court papers. Like, yeah, it's not criminal, but there are definitely real-time punishments.
Yeah, but people like Lena Dunham and Lisa Kudrow and Anita Sarkeesian think you deserve that. Because feminism is garbage.
Not all women.
Continuing, but Lee said there was no evidence to show the law would help tackle sex trafficking. Quote, it's instead damaged the relationship between sex workers and police as they are now chasing after our clients. That has led to more assaults and even rapes, and there's now a marked reluctance among our community to come forward and report those crimes, end quote. In September last year, a judge ruled that Lee had established an arguable case that amendments to the Human Trafficking and Exploitation Act Wait, H-T-E-A. Okay. Exploitation Act breach her rights to privacy and freedom from discrimination. Lee said that although her legal challenge had drawn criticism and hate messages, quote, "It's shown me an inner strength I didn't know I had. I just want to get things moving," end quote. So we'll see where that goes.
Fun fact, we follow each other on Twitter.
All right. Laura Lee. So out there in Northern Ireland, putting in work, as some folks might say. All right, so let's go to the third Maxine Waters clip from DMOC Now, where they do, like, real journalism and shit.
What?
Yeah, it's weird. I think this is the one that's only, like, 2 minutes and change.
Finally, Congressmember Maxine Waters, you're talking about the impeachment of Donald Trump. Why?
Well, here's what I'm saying in response to questions that I'm getting. What can we do? How are we going to put up with him for four more years? I answered by saying I don't intend to put up with him for four more years. I think that he has defined himself. He has raised serious questions about whether or not he should be the leader of our country. I am asking that the investigations really look into whether or not, for example, there was collusion with Putin and the Kremlin as they hacked into our DNC, as they hacked into our DCCC and to members of Congress. What was going on? If he was involved, if his president of his campaign was involved with the Kremlin, etc., then I think that is grounds for impeachment. And so I'm saying I'm willing to do everything to get to the bottom of this relationship and what happened. And I certainly think there's no question if there was collusion, if there was strategizing, if there was planning, if he had knowledge about this hacking, then I certainly believe he should be impeached.
So how do you go about investigating this?
Well, one of the things we're trying to do is we're trying to put pressure on the committees that are now saying that they're going to do the investigations. You have the Intelligence Committee on the Senate side, and you have one of the House committees talking about doing the investigations. I put together a concurrent resolution that identifies steps I think they should take and the way that they should drill down. And so educating the public so that the public can put pressure on these investigations to make sure they're not just whitewashed, that they're real investigations to get at the truth. I think we have to fight and press very hard in order to get at the truth. And I think that it is possible to do that. We cannot think that somehow we can't find out what's going on. If, in fact, they discovered that he was hacking, they can discover other things about him and Manafort and what they were doing.
Congressmember Maxine Waters from Los Angeles, California, thanks so much for being with us. Congressmember Waters is a Democrat who serves as a ranking member of the House Committee on Financial Services.
I mean, really, the Democrats should just start running her now. Start running her for president now. No, right? Sounds wacky. What? Way too early. Way too soon. Start running someone, because she has enough progressive credentials that she's going to get those folks in from the left that are like, that aren't interested in Democrats and aren't going to get up and get excited to go vote and go caucus for Democrats and whatnot. She'll get those folks. She is a Democrat. She's been a Democrat and has had that name, so they can't be like, well, you're outside our party. And she's even into the whole Russia thing. So she's well in with the Democrats, good in with the progressives, right? Might get black people excited again. Woman lady. Get the woman voters. So she hits the identity politics and she actually has credentials. You know, like she actually has a clean voting record. They won't do that.
They won't.
They're going to run Schumer or Booker And I'm telling you, Booker is too much of an Obama reminder. Very similar complexion, very similar baritone. Nah. And niggas already know about him. Niggas already know how dirty he is. We've known how dirty he was since, what, I think it was like 2013? Like, we've known how grimy that nigga is.
They should run Ellison and Waters.
That would help, yeah. Niggas like Ellison, like Scotty Reed kept going. Ellison is an abolitionist. Now Scotty Reed talks. Like, it's like he's like yelling through his bottom lip the whole time he's talking. Chief Ellison's an abolitionist.
Yeah, Ellison and Waters, that would be a good ticket.
So a social media post with racist remarks caught the eye of Hoover school leaders. One parent made sure that ABC 3340, a news station, saw those remarks from the school's cafeteria. School leaders are working to find out who wrote the words. Finding who's responsible is proving to be a tough task. The Hoover School is a large school, and nearly 1,000 students can be in the lunchroom at one time. Excuse. So school leaders and the resource officers are scanning surveillance video and looking for who wrote the N-word while making a reference to Black History Month. The racially charged word created several busy hours for the leaders of the Hoover City Schools. Quote, "We are looking into it. We are investigating it. If we find the students who apparently put this on the table, they will be dealt with according to our student code of conduct and policy." And Hoover City Schools spokesman Jason Gaston. Now, the ABC station, they learned from a parent of a child who saw the word and took a picture. The student, according to her mother, was one of the several who saw the words on Friday. Quote, "Some of the elements coming to us from the students are not quite adding up. We are trying to figure out what's true, what's false, and where the facts are going to lead us," added Gaston. School leaders discovered the words and shared on social media via a Snapchat, and they might have been written during the lunch period more than a week ago. Ho! Quote, another from Gaston, this motherfucker has a lot to say, said, We do believe this was from inside the lunchroom. We are very disturbed by it. We have zero tolerance for anything of this nature. End quote. School resources officers, cops. Fucking cops on campus. School resources officers are scanning hours of surveillance video recording in the cafeteria. The search is proving difficult. Quote, "We are not sure," Gaston again, "we are not sure how many eyewitnesses there were from the social media account and where the photo originated." End quote. Gaston also said that none of the schools in his district have room for hate. Why do people say this shit? Like, you put me in charge, I'm gonna be like, "Hey, you know what? These kids are kind of, they're pretty racist. I've seen them." Like, just, but what?
Because talking points and platitudes.
Well, what am I gonna do? They're American. That makes them kind of normal, right? Like, oh, this one right here, definitely. Hey, come over here, Ethan. Ethan is fucked up. This kid is like, watch, yo, put a government watch on this kid. This is the next shooter. Like, he's why I'm quitting next week.
Oh, shit. Nice job, Ethan.
Little fuck. So he said, none of them have room for hate. All practice a zero tolerance policy.
Now, zero tolerance, that would imply when they catch whoever did it, it's automatic expulsion.
No, zero tolerance means you put nigger kids on the school-to-prison pipeline. That's what it's always meant. He also mentioned that Hoover High School is very large and diverse, with a lot of clubs and organizations catering to all types of students.
That is like a version of I Have a Black Friend. Oh, we're very diverse. Shit. We have black people here and we give them clubs.
Yeah, they got clubs. I mean, nigga didn't even go to... Can you not name four? Just, we got a gang. We got a lot of them.
We got a lot of them.
God, I bet he talks like Trump.
Ew.
Fucking Trump.
So what, we have lots of clubs. Great clubs. Many clubs.
You know, and that's what I should do, because I think I wake up and I get up and start doing stuff right around the time that Trumpelstiltskin starts tweeting.
Yeah.
Like, that's the best way to get into a Twitter war with him. I just got to get him right when he starts. As soon as he tweets, immediately get a response.
He very rarely responds to people on Twitter. He occasionally retweets people, but he usually just makes a series of tweets and, like, never comes back.
God,
I'm sure he reads all the comments, though.
I should make something that's too smart for him to understand, because he's a very not smart person. I'm trying to avoid ableist language. He is a lot of not smart going on with that fella right there. I will tell you what. And let's dance it on back over to the soundboard and take the last little short little breaky-do with get a little pop of populism in your system with Jim Motherfrackin' Hightower.
Tromp, tromp, tromp. Troops are marching to battle. Boom, boom, boom. Bombs are blowing up communities. Whoosh. Poisonous gas is being released. Forget Syria, ISIS, Iran, Afghanistan. This is Trump's war. Our bellicose commander-in-chief is at war in the homeland, deploying his troops to attack everything from our public schools to the EPA, dropping executive order bombs on Muslim communities in the Mexican border, and spewing poisonous tweets of bigotry and right-wing bile at the media, scientists, inner cities, illegal voters, Meryl Streep, diplomats, Democrats, people who use real facts and, well, Trump is at war with the American majority, with all who do not agree with him. And you thought Nixon had a long enemies list. Yet, Trump's most destructive assault so far has not targeted any one group, but an essential and existential concept, truth. Bluntly put, he's psychotic, believing that truth is whatever he says it is, and that he can change it tomorrow. Years ago, in a futuristic novel, the author wrote about the rise of a tyrannical regime that ruled by indoctrinating the masses to accept the perverse notion of capricious truth. It was George Orwell's 1984, which depicted a dystopia he named Oceania. There, the public had been inculcated to believe that reality is not, quote, something objective, external, existing in its own right. Rather, whatever the party holds to be truth is truth. Now, in 2017, we live in Trumplandia, with a delusional leader of a plutocratic party trying to redefine reality with alternative facts and fake news. This is Jim Hightower saying, but resistance is already surging, including the fact that Orwell's 70-year-old book has become a bestseller again, thanks to Trump resistors seeking, you know, truth.
Hightower's commentaries are brought to you by the Hightower Lowdown, the monthly newsletter with Hightower's take on what Wall Street and Washington are up to. For information, visit HightowerLowdown.org.
Wait, what in the holy...
I hope you're sure happy it's Tuesday in the wine cellar.
Okay, so the buttons on that application...
Why are you trying to give me a glass? Just give me that bottle.
Those buttons fucking overlap on that application. Alright. Cops assault fellow officer for being Muslim. Alright, you must have put that one up there.
I did.
And Patriots players are skipping the White House because they don't want to visit Trumpelstiltskin.
Mm-hmm.
And then past stories that we're still trying to get updates on. We're still trying to find out about that guy meeting with top gang thugs. You know, like, let's get some more of those top gang thugs.
Yeah.
But then he walked it back. And the white woman that attacked the Broadway actor, we still don't have a name on her. That story that we hit up. And and we still don't have an update yet on the man in Everett, Washington State that stabbed a black man in the back for watching a white woman. You're about to Google it?
Yeah.
No, I'm not adding new segments to this episode. You're trying to make the episode longer? No. Yeah, it's almost 8:30 p.m. already.
Oh my gosh, is it really?
Yep. No updates yet on Holtzclaw, but he's trying to appeal the conviction. Let's not forget that. And that one feller that raped his girlfriend, and the cops found they found 70 guns in his home, and they seized 67 of them. If folks might remember that from the wine cellar. All right, so let's close out with this Jake Tapper clip and wrap this gosh darn thing up. Hope folks like the new way that I do the music. I took actual songs with the lyrics, and then I just turned up the bass and turned down the mids and turned up one of the highs all the way up so that it kind of rides in the background in a different way. Just testing that out, see how that works. I check it out in the archives. I kind of dig it so far, still finding my right decibel level on them. You know, it's kind of changing things upward. All right. Oh, where's that Jake Tapper? There he is. All right, so this is Jake Tapper getting, showing some frustration with Kellyanne Conway, or the alternate Twitty, if you will. Conway Twitty, right? Get it? Ha 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 ha.
President Trump was clearly saying that the media does not cover terrorist attacks that we clearly cover, and he was saying we don't do it because we don't want to do it and because we have some sort of ulterior motive in that. That's not what you're saying right now, but that is what he's saying. But while we're on the subject of not addressing a terrorist attack, I want to ask you, in Quebec City last week, a white right-wing terrorist opened fire on a mosque filled with innocent men, women, and children. Six people were killed. President Trump has not said or tweeted one public word about this. You want to talk about ignoring terrorism? Why hasn't the president offered his sympathy to our neighbors in the north?
We know he's sympathetic to any loss of life. It's completely senseless, and it needs to stop regardless of who is lodging the attack. We of course, are very sad about loss of life here. And he is talking about trying to stop terrorism and people who want to do harm to this country. And I'm sure in the case of our neighbors to the north, I'm glad that the Prime Minister of Canada is coming here next week, I'm sure they'll talk about that if he's coming soon, as I understand. But the fact is that I will ask him, he doesn't tweet about everything, he doesn't make a comment about everything, but I can tell you that the entire point that I do think has been misinterpreted many places about why he wants extreme vetting, in this case temporary and through seven very narrowly prescribed countries that the Obama administration, President Obama's administration, and Congress thought needed more, quote, serious screening. Mm-hmm. He is doing that in response to what he sees and he hears in his briefings as the advance and the continued threat of terrorist acts, not unlike the one that you're citing to our friends in the north. And, of course, put us on record as always being sad about this senseless loss of life.
He tweeted when there was that attack at the Louvre Museum where nobody was killed. I don't understand why he wouldn't tweet when six Canadian citizens were murdered, except for the fact that the undercover document that the White House distributed last night, also did not mention any attacks other than those committed by Muslim terrorists. And obviously radical Islamic terrorism is a big problem. But there are all sorts of kinds of horrific terrorism that take place. We saw some of that in South Carolina recently. And I guess the question is, are these victims any less dead than the ones killed by Islamic radical terrorists?
No.
All right. So, so that was Jake Tapper getting a little annoyed with Kellyanne Conway, the alternate Twitty. And it's winecellarmedia.com. All right, the Black Podcast. Go to patreon.com/winecellarmediafund. Sign the fuck up. Or go to paypal.me/phoenixandwilliam. Hit it the fuck up. I'd like to get that unlimited uploading space for videos on the website. And punch Nazis. All right, that's easy to answer. That's not complicated. But you know what? Niggas want to make it complicated because they're like, we gotta have a debate and a serious discussion about, you know, really, no. Eat food, take showers, change your socks, punch Nazis. Some things are easy. All right? And that's your wine cellar, fuckface. Da-da-da-da. Punch a Nazi one more time. Right? Real simple. Turn off the Facebook Live. And turn off the podcast recording.